Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram weekend edition, Saturday, October 28th, 2021. Section A. MISD receives vaccine incentive donation. ECISD idea also to potentially benefit from the contribution. By Stuart Doreen. Earlier this week, Midland ISD reported that it was seeing an average of 300 to 400 absent staff members per day. That was making face-to-face learning challenging for a school district looking to improve its academic performance. Superintendent Angelica Ramsey said as much during the Unified Command Team call. She said it wasn't just teachers, but bus drivers, janitors, and other support staff that made district operations happen. The Scarborough Foundation wanted to do something about that. On Friday, it was announced the foundation will donate up to $400,000 to Midland ISD and Ector County ISD to distribute to teachers, staff, and substitute teachers of these institutions and IDEA Permian Basin schools to receive the vaccine in order to stay healthy and continue educating Midland and Odessa students. Midland ISD and Ector County ISD will each receive up to $200,000 each. This donation is literally and figuratively life-saving, Ramsey said. On behalf of the entire school board and administration, I cannot thank the Scarborough Foundation enough for their generosity. Midland ISD reported on its website Friday that there were 1,081 students and staff members that have tested positive for COVID since August 2nd. More than 500 of those are active cases. After a year of interrupted learning, keeping our children in class is more important than ever. We hope this effort saves lives, promotes health, and helps educate our students, said Grant Billingsley, executive director of the foundation. The donation is another show of support by the foundation when it comes to education and community. In 2016, the foundation gave $10 million to the district to help overcome a deficit created by the district's school finance payment that year. In 2019, the Scarborough Foundation provided $21 million of the $55 million in commitments by the business and philanthropic communities in Midland and Odessa to bring IDEA public schools to Midland. We believe deeply that students deserve excellent in-person instruction every day, said Bethany Salas, executive director of IDEA. This is an important way to keep our staff safe, healthy, and on campus every day possible. We are grateful to be a part of this initiative. Staff of each organization will receive further communication regarding how to receive the incentive. Weekly cases top 1,300. Midland Health also reports four new COVID deaths, by Stuart Doreen. The number of new COVID casual cases appears to be as high as any time during the pandemic. The Midland Health Department reported Friday that its preliminary numbers for last week show there were 1,312 new cases, the most of any week in 2021. Midland Health officials have said that the jump in cases will negatively impact the hospital within 7 to 10 days. On Friday morning, Midland Health Chief Operating Officer Steve Bowerman reported there were 121 total COVID inpatients, which is down from 124 on Thursday. He said 107 inpatients are active, 29 are on ventilators, and 85% are unvaccinated. Bowerman also reported four new COVID deaths, raising the number from July 4th to at least 30. These newest deaths include two people younger than 50. Other things to know from the week in COVID include new COVID cases have increased for 8 straight weeks. There have been more than 100 new cases reported every weekday going back to August 2nd. The 343 preliminary cases on August 16th are the most going back to at least late October. The price, the age range of patients inside Midland Memorial on Friday was 19 to 89, and 12% of those patients came from outside Midland County. The farthest away is the Houston suburb of Katy. The percentage of eligible Midland County residents that are fully vaccinated has risen from 40 to 40.7%. 30 Midland Health staff members are out with COVID, and another 85 have been exposed and are being monitored. Another 12 beds on the sixth floor of Midland Memorial were opened Friday morning. DUC inventories could limit growth. By Mella McEwen. Hurricane Ida, bearing down on the U.S. Gulf Coast, is brewing up support for crude prices. A week after plunging 9%, West Texas Intermediate rose more than 10%, the highest weekly gain since June 2020. Prices rose $1.32 or 2% on Friday to end the week at $68.74 per barrel. Natural gas saw a strong end of the week, climbing about 29 cents Thursday and another 19 cents Friday to close the week at 4.375 per MCF. Michael Barnsbach, oil and gas and NGL marketing consultant, told the Reporter-Telegram that natural gas played a role in the rise of natural gas prices. Natural gas storage played a role in natural gas prices. He said net injections totaled 29 billion cubic feet for the week. For his part, Grant Schwartzwelder, owner and president of OTA Environmental, marveled at how oil and gas natural prices have recovered. Now, natural gas prices look great, and Chesapeake Energy says they're focusing back on natural gas. He said, like the weather, give it some time and the focus will shift again. Ed Longenecker, president of the Texas Independent Royalty and Royalty Owners Association, sees several factors supporting commodity prices. Most notably is the approaching storm in the Gulf of Mexico and related supply disruptions. The recent fire on an offshore oil platform operated by Mexico's state-run Pemex will exacerbate supply disruptions in the Gulf that will have a lingering effect due to ongoing challenges with reconnecting the impacted wells. A third drop in U.S. crude inventories is also driving prices higher, while natural gas gained momentum following an announcement from EIA reporting a smaller than weekly supply gain. Future crude prices could get support from production limitations, according to the Drilling Productivity Report. The EIA said there were 5,957 drilled but uncompleted wells in all the report's regions in July, the fewest since November 2017. The decline is most notable in the Permian, where DUCs fell to their lowest level since June 2018. The EIA reported that although the significant reduction in DUCs follows an increasing rate of well completions in the Permian, both the number of wells drilled and completed in all other regions remain at historically low levels. The EIA reports 393 wells completed in the Permian in July. At that monthly completion rate, the region has less than 6 months of DUCs remaining, approaching the lowest number of months of inventory since September 2018. It added that the low months of inventory may affect completion activity by slowing it down or new well drilling activity by speeding it up. The combination of more wells being completed but fewer wells being drilled is contributing to the return of oil production in the Permian region. However, it is driving the current DUC inventory down, which could limit oil production growth in the United States in the coming months. Midland topped all mid-sized cities in the nation when it came to home prices increasing the least from 2019 to 2021. Midland ranked first, showing a 3% decrease in home prices. Three other Texas cities were in the top six, as College Station was second, Odessa fifth, and Laredo was sixth. A variety of mid-sized cities were among those with the smallest increases in housing prices. Some cities, such as Midland and Odessa, were affected by the drop in oil prices. The report showed home prices grew an average of 18.7%. AdvisorSmith.com studied housing price data over a two-year period to understand the most significant changes in housing prices nationally. This study considered the impact of the home price changes among two- and three-bedroom homes, which are the most common housing unit sizes in the U.S. The website determined the increase in housing prices by using home price data as measured by the Zillow Home Value Index. It examined typical home values at the city level, which reflects the legal boundaries of cities, not metropolitan areas. Get involved with nonprofits around town. By J.C. Lewis. New to town? Midland has a fantastic nonprofit community that always needs volunteers and support. Keep an eye out for the rescheduling of the Get in the Mix event, which will help connect volunteers to nonprofits at Midland Shared Spaces. The event was rescheduled due to the COVID-19 surge in the area. Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center's mission is to develop the literacy skills of adults so they can achieve their goals, improvise their lives, improve their lives, and impact the community. The organization works with one-on-one teaching, small group classes, and self-paced programs. Volunteer to help an adult with their literacy skills. Upcoming event, Readathon Fundraiser, September 30th online. Christmas in Action repairs homes of low-income elderly and disabled homeowners by putting Christian values and principles in action. Volunteers can assist with roof replacements, construction of wheelchair ramps, painting, exterior and interior, and window repair and more. Junior Achievement of the Permian Basin volunteers inspire kids to achieve a more fulfilling career and life by continuing professional insights and personal experiences to the programs they teach. Senior Life Midland helps provide homebound services for seniors. Programs needing volunteers include Meals on Wheels, Meals on Wheels for Paws, Handyman, One Day at a Time, Advocacy Efforts, and Foster Grandparents. Upcoming event, Texas Size Garage Sale, October 8th and 9th in Midland. Uptown Business and Professional Women's Club's goal is to complement and enhance each of the members' professional lives by providing thoughtful networking opportunities, volunteering in community-minded projects, and recognition of accomplishments. Midland Inspires mission is to inspire women to enhance the lives of all Midland County residents by learning and giving together. Recording Library of West Texas produces high-quality recordings in order to enrich the lives of those with impairments. The library also has dyslexia services and other learning disability services. Volunteers can help by reading books, newspapers, aloud, and other opportunities. Upcoming events, Zipline in the Dark, 10 to 7 p.m. September 18th at Grande Stadium. Mission Center Adult Day Services supports clients and caregivers in their decision to age in place by remaining in their homes and receiving the care they need from outside resources. Clients receive medical care, nutritional stability, education about disease management, and more. Animal organizations. Lone Star Animal Sanctuary will be expanding its no-kill shelter in the future. The shelter works to give a loving home to homeless and abused pets until they can be placed with a permanent, stable home with responsible owners. Volunteers can help with daily play, petting, grooming, socializing, and more. Massa Rescue works with the Midland Animal Shelter, which is a high-kill shelter. The rescue works to find permanent homes for pets and fosters while pets wait for a forever home. Volunteer to be an animal foster. Midland Humane Coalition is a no-kill facility that pulls healthy and adoptable pets from the Midland Animal Services to find new homes. The nonprofit needs adoption center volunteers, adoption blanket makers, special events volunteers, and more. Upcoming event, Furball, 6 p.m. to midnight, October 30th at the Petroleum Club in Midland. Permian Basin Animal Advocates is a foster network to place homeless pets until they are adopted to approved homes. The organization also educates the community on being a responsible pet owner, TNR and spaying and neutering pets. Volunteer to become a foster. Fix West Texas helps with the pet overpopulation problem by providing low-cost spay and neuter along with vaccines and microchips. The organization needs volunteers to attend events, host fundraisers, speak at schools and local civic groups, and more. Upcoming event, Strut Your Mutt, 10 a.m. Saturday, Beale Dog Park. Grand Companions was started in Fort Davis, but now has a small shelter in Midland. The rescue hosts a hike with a homeless pet at the Sibley Nature Center every month with the help of volunteers. Help the Unhoused. The Field's Edge is building a tiny home village to house homeless people in the area. The community would provide a permanent and supportive home to the chronically homeless. Breaking Bread Kitchen takes a truck to provide meals to homeless people. They also serve meals at their building. The organization also provides fellowship and fosters a sense of community. Volunteers to help bring in food to those in need and other opportunities are available. Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry provides a free hot home-cooked meal to anyone that comes through their doors. The ministry also has a daily sharing of the gospel, holiday meal and gifts during Christmas, vacation Bible school, resources for shelter and education, plus Bibles to anyone that would like one. Volunteers can help in the soup kitchen with other opportunities. Family Promise of Midland serves homeless families by providing shelter with extensive case management. Volunteers are needed to assist the congregations in the Midland Interfaith Hospitality Network. Midland Habitat for Humanity is a Christian-based nonprofit organization that builds homes for low-income families trapped in substandard housing. Volunteers can help with the construction of new homes. Basin Dream Center for Orphans is more than a traditional homeless shelter because it offers a job training for youth in the area. The Transitional Living Center also offers life skill building workshops and trauma therapy. Volunteers are needed for transportation, tutoring, life skills training, mentoring, cooking, gardening, and more. Salvation Army of Midland offers worship services, emergency shelter, family store, disaster services, emergency financial assistance, casework services, and men's and women's ministries. Volunteers can help with the Red Kettle bell ringing, the food pantry, toys for kids, Christmas toy shop, and more. Children and Families. Big Brothers Big Sisters Permian Basin creates and supports one-on-one mentoring relationships with adults and youth. The organization is in need of bigs for more than 40 littles. The nonprofit is hoping to get 100 volunteers to help mentor children. West Texas Food Bank helps feed families in 19 counties across West Texas with the help of more than 100 partners. The food bank distributes donated and purchased food to children, families, and seniors. Volunteer opportunities involve warehouse food sorting, drive-through pantry help, senior outreach, and more. Midland Fair Havens is a faith-based organization that helps families and cycles end cycles of abuse and poverty to discover new paths toward more sustainable futures. The nonprofit provides residential and non-residential support to single mothers and their children. Volunteers can help with tutoring or partnering with Midland Fair Havens. Boys and Girls Clubs of Midland Young People helps young people become productive, caring, and responsible citizens by providing enriching experiences in a positive environment. Volunteers can help with coaching, academic tutoring, teaching art, photography, and more. Communities in Schools of the Permian Basin help young people reach their goal of graduating from high school and going on to become positive contributors to the community. Centers for Children and Families offers individual marital and family counseling services provided at reduced or no cost. Midland County Public Library Foundation supports and enhances projects and programs that encourage lifelong learning at Midland County Public Libraries. Volunteers can help by volunteering at the library. Educate Midland works to empower and align the community by connecting people, ideas, and resources with opportunities. Be the Change Permian Basin seeks to bring greater social and emotional development skills to the youth it services. Volunteers get to interact with youth and make a positive impact. MARC empowers individuals with developmental disabilities and enables clients to reach new personal bests and levels of independence daily. Volunteer opportunities include helping with vehicle maintenance, client transportation, gardening with clients, staff appreciation, small maintenance and repair, and helping clients in the wood shop program. Share supports families of children with special needs with their efforts to build and maintain strong and successful families. Midland Soccer Association needs coaches for the Fall Youth Recreational Center season. Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest needs volunteers for troop leaders, troop family and friends, cookie volunteers, and more. The Attic Foster Network exists to empower churches and members to ensure engage in the prevention, intervention, and emancipation of local orphans, needs foster families and foster family babysitters. Midland Education Foundation guides funding that contributes to enriching innovation instruction throughout MISD. Safe Place for the Permian Basin's mission is to break the cycle of family violence by empowering individuals to make safe and healthy choices through awareness, counseling, advocacy, and shelter. Volunteers can help in the children's program, donations, community education, court accompaniment, shelter services, 24-hour crisis line, hotline, clerical support, special projects and events, and more. United Way of Midland works to ensure youth success from birth through career, individual and family health and safety, and household stability. Casa de Amigos is a multicultural neighborhood center located in southeast Midland. The organization provides services in adult and youth education, social services, health and wellness, and senior services. Upcoming event, 7th Annual Festival of Trees. High Sky Children's Ranch helps abused children heal and promotes family wholeness. Volunteers can help with landscape projects, prepare visitation rooms, organize donations, provide for holidays and birthdays of children, and donate specific items needed for children. Arts and culture organizations. Midland Community Theater provides educational opportunities in theater. Volunteers can help with painting, shopping, sewing, building, and creating excellent sets and costumes alongside the professional staff. Arts Council of Midland supports the arts in the Midland community. The organization presents the Celebration of the Arts, quarterly exhibitions, and grants to art-related programs in Midland. Museum of the Southwest takes visitors through art, history, outer space, and will soon have a revamped children's museum. Volunteers are needed for special programming and events. Upcoming event, September Fest. Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale enriches the lives of West Texans through professional music performances and music education programs. Support the education through their website. Hispanic Cultural Center of Midland is a teaching center promoting cultural awareness and enriching the lives of students by enhancing academic proficiency through arts education. Volunteers are needed for the upcoming parade. Pride Center of West Texas works to improve the lives of sexual orientation and gender identity minorities by providing a safe gathering place, educational offerings, and social services. Volunteers are needed for events at the center. Midland Festival Ballet is committed to bringing the beauty of ballet to the Permian Basin. The nonprofit performs productions at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, classes at the School of Midland Festival Ballet, and does outreach programming in the community. Volunteers can help by working backstage during performances to create costumes and helping with auditions and administrative tasks. Permian Basin Opera brings opera in various forms to the basin. The organization also does outreach to local schools. Midland Arts Association sponsors 2 juried exhibits a year. The organization encourages amateur artists and creates an atmosphere of coordinated effort between the amateur and the professional. Upcoming event, Art Gallery Opening, October 5th. Outdoor organizations. Keep Midland Beautiful strives to educate and engage community members in litter prevention, beautification, and waste management. The nonprofit organizes litter pickups and attends events to educate. Upcoming event, annual Trio of Gardens fundraiser, 1 p.m. September 12th. I-20 Wildlife Preserve was founded by naturalists to ensure the conservation, restoration, education, research, and outdoor enjoyment of the urban playa. Permian Basin Bicycle Association is currently helping create a 135-acre mountain bike park in Midland. The Midland Trails Project needs donations and volunteers. Sibley Education Learning Center Foundation was started by 2 teachers that were concerned children weren't being adequately exposed to the area's environment, unique flora, fauna, and history. The center offers nature trails, interpretive programming, spring and fall nature festivals, brown bag lunch, lecture series, and more. Bush Tennis Center offers low-cost programs and memberships for all ages to provide services to children in need. Health organizations. HEART, helping our first responders and veterans work with active and retired individuals who deal with the private daily battle of anxiety, depression, and PTSD. HEART does equine therapy provided by the Horse Center at no cost to the participant. American Red Cross Permian Basin prevents and alleviates human suffering in the face of emergencies by mobilizing the power of volunteers. Permian Basin Gifts for Hope serves cancer patients and their families, offering support, lodging, information, and networking. Pink the Basin is an organization that thinks every woman deserves to know if they have breast cancer. Funds are distributed to partnering hospitals throughout the Permian Basin that provide mammograms and other breast cancer diagnostic services. Aphasia Center of West Texas works to improve the quality of life for individuals and families living with aphasia by overcoming communication barriers at home and in the community. MDA West Texas serves hundreds of families living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related neuromuscular diseases in 83 counties in the Permian Basin. Faith-based organizations. Fellowship of Christian Athletes' mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Upcoming events, Permian Basin Fields of Faith, 7 p.m. October 13th. ROPE Youth's goal is to help youth move forward in their lives through redirection, prevention, and mentoring. The nonprofit works with juvenile offenders to provide an alternative to formal court proceedings and offer a chance for these and other youth to accept responsibility and move forward in their lives. GROW, Girls Rule Our World, is an all-girls in-school self-esteem program. Volunteer in one of the many programs, upcoming events, Best of the West Texas Cook-Off, Car Show, and Concert. Agape Counseling Services of West Texas is a Christian counseling center that provides professional counseling for people with mental and emotional needs. Midland Young Life is a Christ-based center ministry that helps kids know Jesus, grow in their faith, and serve Him. Upcoming events, Roundup Fundraiser, 6 p.m. October 25th at the Bush Convention Center. Nonprofits helping nonprofits. Midland Shared Spaces is a resource and shared workspace occupied by various nonprofit organizations. The Nonprofit Management Center of Permian Basin provides consulting, training, and advocacy that support the effectiveness and sustainability of nonprofit organizations. Garland Dean Pierce died the evening of August 24th. Visitation and funeral will be Monday, August 30th, 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. respectively at Wilshire Park Baptist Church in Midland. Graveside service will be at 4 p.m. August 30th at Victor Cemetery in De Leon, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklum Welsh Funeral Home. Guadalupe Luera Reyes went to be with our Lord on August the 24th in Amarillo. Viewing will be Sunday, August 29th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Services will be at 1 p.m. Monday at Kelview Heights Baptist Church. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Maria Luisa Carrasco passed away on Tuesday, August 24th. A viewing will be held from 3 to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 28th at The Branch at Nellie Picklum Welsh Funeral Home. Rosary will be held on Sunday, August 29th at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held at Monday, August 30th at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church in Midland, with burial to follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklum Welsh Funeral Home. Sandra Lee Dimmitt of Burnett died peacefully Sunday, July 11th in Georgetown. A memorial to celebrate her life will be held at the chapel at Clements Wilcox Funeral Home in Burnett at 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 28th. Wright Cowden Jr. passed away on August 24th. Celebration of Life service will be held Monday, August 30th, 2 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church in Midland. And arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklum Welsh Funeral Home. Jashawn Damlin Thomas passed away on August 22nd. Visitation will be held on Sunday, August 29th. Services are under the direction of Jackie Warren Funeral Home. Alphonse Morales of Midland passed away Saturday, August 21st. Viewing will be Monday, August 30th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. with rosary recited at 7 p.m. at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral Mass is set for Tuesday, August 31st at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine, with burial following at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Dawn Marie Howard of Midland passed away on Sunday, May 3rd. Memorial service will be held Saturday, September 18th at Nellie Picklum Welsh Funeral Home. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklum Welsh Funeral Home. Judith Jackson of Midland passed away August 25th. Services pending with Nellie Picklum Welsh Funeral Home. Neva Zunica passed away August 18th. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, August 28th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Visitation from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday and Friday at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home.
Hello, this is Cindy, reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, August 28th. Board okays resolution and delays implementation. With community members looking on, the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees approved a resolution for a temporary mask requirement, but delayed the implementation of it until the legal battles over such requirements are fully settled. Board Member Nelson Mignard made the motion, which was seconded by Trustee Delma Abalos. Board Vice President Steve Brown was absent, and Trustee Carol Gregg attended the meeting virtually. Mike Atkins, the attorney for the school district, said Governor Greg Abbott has said no mask mandates. That has been challenged by local governments, school boards, cities, and lower courts have said the governor doesn't have that authority. So when you're trying to decide what the rule is, the Supreme Court came in and said this is going to take a while we work through it. so the governor's mandate holds sway, Atkins said. In remarks to the board, Atkins said it's important to know that the state Supreme Court has not decided who has the authority to deal with this issue. Is the state of Texas, or is it locally elected officials of various entities who have that responsibility? That issue has not been resolved. But what the Supreme Court has told us is we're going to remove this uncertainty while this thing works its way through the courts, Atkins said. He added that in his view, it would be ill-advised to pass a mandate contrary to that. Mignard said he personally doesn't like wearing a mask, but I feel like it needs to be done. If it went into effect, the board recap said stipulations would include all students, staff, and visitors wearing masks while indoors on ECISD property and while riding ECISD buses must wear face masks covering the nose and mouth. Masks are not required while eating or at other times specifically deemed reasonably appropriate by the campus principal or building administrator related to health and safety. Individuals with religious or medical needs or disabilities that prohibit the wearing of masks upon acceptable verification are excused from this requirement. The superintendent shall review COVID-19 related conditions regularly and is authorized to determine the duration of the mask requirement, cessation of the requirement based on improved conditions, and or reinstatement of the mask requirement if lifted. The roughly 33 people who turned out to voice their opinions were against imposing a temporary mask mandate for students, staff, and visitors. Before the meeting started, Superintendent Scott Murray urged people to let each other speak and not clap, applaud, or boo. Those in the audience abided by his request. Most of those who attended encouraged the board to vote against the resolution. Dr. Rohith Saravanan, Regional Chief Medical Officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center, said he recognized the bravery and courage it took to have this discussion. Saravanan said there were about 400 deaths in the United States of children under 18 because of this disease process. One is too many, he said. Saravanan said the virus doesn't affect children as much as adults, and children don't get as sick, but still may need hospitalization. He said pediatric intensive care units are getting full. He added that they can't wait until the pandemic is over before they open schools. The best tool we have to fight against this disease process is vaccines, Saravanan said. He encouraged staff and eligible children to get vaccines. He said masks have worked to prevent respiratory illnesses, as has social distancing, making sure sick people don't come to school and limiting visitors. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin said they had 96 people with COVID in the hospital, and 94% of them are unvaccinated. Tippin said the struggle is real, but there are ways around getting sick. He added that seeing your doctor as soon as possible, getting the vaccine and washing your hands are preventative measures. Tippin said the hospital is seeing more patients this time than during the last surge. The hospital is full and urgent cares are full, but there was a long line for vaccines. MCH Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons described the crisis conditions at the hospital and the low morale among the staff. Dr. Timothy Benton, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, professor and interim regional dean, ECISD medical director, pointed out masks have been a long-used medical tool for infection control and is an effective means for reducing spread of the virus. Jasmine Reyna is a single mother of two daughters who go to Buse Elementary School. She also works at a daycare. I personally have experienced seeing these children being instilled with fear by us adults, and I think that's sad because normally as a parent or as an adult, we want to be able to support those little ones, Reyna said. When fear is instilled in children, she said, it causes trauma to the children. For me and my faith, I stand here for my faith. Since this COVID has hit, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, Reyna said. She said she respects those who wear masks, but like many of those who spoke, she believes in choice and freedom. Jessica Wright, a mom, aunt, and American, said she was there to come out clearly against masks. Wright said freedom should be respected by both sides. She said she loves seeing children smile, laugh, and interact with each other, and she loves seeing the light go on for students. She said she did not want her children feeling restricted. Daniel Wright, a 10-year-old student at Buse, said wearing a mask, he couldn't tell if his teacher was crying or had a normal face. He added that he didn't want to wear a mask at school because he got hot when he was out in the sun running. And with masks, his friends couldn't tell if he was happy or sad and vice versa. Jesse Christensen said he is vaccinated, but he doesn't think it's right to have a mask mandate. He added that the Texas Supreme Court upheld Abbott's ban on mask mandates Thursday. Helen Husband, a retired ECISD teacher, asked the board to approve the resolution. Husband said this is a matter of public health, and cases of the Delta variant have exploded across the nation. But students need in-person instruction now more than ever. Most students cannot be vaccinated because they are too young, but she said masking is the best tool that will reduce the risk of transmission. Husband said at least 4 school districts have already closed their doors because of COVID-19 outbreaks. In all these districts, she said, masking was optional. Jennifer Woodall said she spoke on behalf of many in attendance. As a parent of a child enrolled in ECISD, Woodall said she was extremely put out by this mandate and it goes against settled science. Woodall said it has been proven that children are at low risk and don't spread the virus. She said masks also cause adverse health effects, such as excessive carbon dioxide, resulting in difficulty concentrating. Javier Ruiz, president of the local chapter of TSTA, said the administration and board have a responsibility to keep children and staff safe. He said masks should be a local decision based on local data and use the most current data available. Misty Troll read Abbott's executive order like others who spoke. She said the order relies on personal responsibility, not mandates. I would hope this entity would be law-abiding as well, Troll said. She added that facial expressions are important to children because they need to know they can trust you. Also, a teacher can't tell if a child is having problems at home if a mask is covering their face. She said she doesn't think there is any reason for a mask mandate because of the low numbers of COVID cases in children. Troll said parents should have the freedom to choose their children if their children wear masks or not. Elizabeth Velasco said mask mandates are against the law, and she would personally notify Paxton of each one of the board members' names. Sam Weeks, a senior at ECISD, said he was angry because he has had peers sitting next to him with COVID, but nothing is done. Every day, Weeks said, he is scared he's going to get COVID. Ara Ann deals with mentally taxing surge in COVID cases by Michael Bauer. For the last couple of weeks, the city of Ira Ann has found itself buried by the pandemic as schools and the local hospital struggle with the surge in positive cases. Ira Ann, which has a population of around 1,200 people, has seen the school district shut its doors for 2 weeks while the staff at Ira Ann General Hospital is hobbled by the patient load. The town has had 119 people test for the virus, while 50 tested positive during a 2-week span. For a town that size, Ira Ann General Hospital CEO Jason Reibolt says those numbers can be detrimental. There's been an increase in numbers, Reibolt said. There's been a lot more positives, and for a small community, that can be detrimental. We've seen an increase in testing. We've seen an increase in positive numbers. We've had more sickness in the area. As far as how it's affected us in the hospital, we've had a few cases where we had patients in that we ended up having to transfer some out that were severe enough and critical enough that needed to be at a higher level of care. The story there is it's difficult to transfer to bigger hospitals because they're either full or not accepting because of the patient's status. RN lies 82.4 miles away from Odessa and 113 miles away from San Angelo. I think you're seeing in a lot of places, not just here, an uptick in the virus, possibly the Delta variant, Ribolt said, that's leading to areas being like they are. On the Texas Department of Health and Human Services website, there were 1,469 confirmed cases in Pecos County, with 343 probable cases and 36 fatalities, with 91 active cases estimated as of August 25th. Pecos County's population is 15,815. The site also listed 1,685 people that are estimated to have recovered. There were 18,826 newly confirmed cases across the state, with 5,289 probable cases and 233 newly reported fatalities as of Wednesday afternoon. ICU beds have been very limited in the state. Ira Ann General Hospital doesn't include ICU. We're a small, rural, critical access hospital, Ribolt said. Our inpatient stuff is more minor. Our critical stuff we transfer out to higher levels of care, such as Midland, Odessa, and San Angelo. The staff size at Ira Ann General Hospital is not large, with Ribolt saying they have just a little more than 50 full-time employees. Ribolt says the biggest challenge has been the influx of hospital need patients that are in critical care. Our census is low on the inpatient side, Ribolt said, so we're minimally staffed on our inpatient side. We have to call in additional nursing staff or borrow equipment if we don't have the equipment, and to make sure that they get what they need before we get them to a higher level of care. So far, the last few weeks have been the worst that Ribolt and his staff at the hospital have seen since the pandemic started. This is the highest numbers that we've seen in our community, Ribolt said. Ribolt described the current situation as mentally taxing. It's something that we've never seen. It certainly wears on you when you're dealing with critically ill patients. In a small community, some of the people that are sick could be family members. Last week, Ira Ann Sheffield ISD announced the decision to shut down for 2 weeks, from August 17th through the 30th, just shortly after the school year started. Calls to Ira Ann Sheffield ISD Superintendent Tracy Cantor were not returned. The current surge in COVID cases has shown that even small communities like Ira Ann are not immune from an outbreak, and Ribolt has urged everyone to be cautious. What I would say, as far as lessons, would be to heed advice and try to do what you can to protect yourself, Ribolt said. Wear a mask and get a vaccine and socially distance when you can. I would also say to count your blessings every day. Quick hits. Creative arts. The 2021 Permian Basin Fair and Expo is seeking creative art entries. The Creative Arts Committee announced Out of Africa as the 2021 theme after having to cancel the 2020 fair and expo due to the pandemic. The Creative Arts competition is one of the largest of its kind held in the Permian Basin. Treasures of different talents and skills are displayed every year during fair days. 2021 entries will reflect or depict any item, being, or thing representing an Out of Africa motif. All divisions of creative arts will be included in this competition. Winners will be selected from each division. Entries will be accepted from noon to 8 p.m. Sunday and Monday. For a full list of general rules and regulations, visit pbfair.com. The Permian Basin Fair and Expo is set to run from September 3rd through the 12th. Marfa Lights Festival. The Marfa Chamber of Commerce will present the 34th Annual Marfa Lights Festival, September 3rd through 4th, in Marfa. Marfa Lights will kick off at 1 p.m., September 3rd, with food and business vendors around the historic Presidio County Courthouse, Marfa. Live music will begin in the evening with and include a set by DJ Ruben Jurado of El Paso and a live performance by Sauna from Presidio. On September 4th, festivities will begin at 10 a.m. with a parade through downtown Marfa, led by Grand Marshal Genevieve Basham. Live music and DJ sets will continue through September 4th, culminating in a performance by headliners La Fiebre of Pasadena. The event is free, entirely outdoors, and open to the public. The Marfa Chamber of Commerce is currently accepting applications for vendors and parade participants, as well as seeking business sponsorships. For more information, please visit marfachamberofcommerce.org or email marfachamberofcommerce@gmail.com. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale will open its 59th season with Get the Picture at 7:30 p.m. September 11th at the Wagner Newell Performing Arts Center, 1310 Farm to Market 1788, Midland. The concert will feature Modeste Mussorgsky's famous Pictures at an Exhibition. George Gershwin's Concerto in F will be performed by renowned pianist and Steinway artist Lai Wang. Rounding out the evening is a contemporary piece, Diamond Rain, by Roshan Edizadi. Tickets start at $11 and can be purchased at mosc.org or by calling 800-514-3849. The Ella Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled an OLA workshop taught by San Antonio ceramicist Diana Kersey from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. September 11th. Learn how to make a porous OLA that can live buried in the garden as an ancient form of irrigation. Advanced registration is required and spots are limited to this workshop, so register today before it fills up. To register or for more information, contact Annie, educator at the Ellen Newell Art Museum, at 432-550-9696, extension 213, or online at education@newellartmuseum.org or visit newellartmuseum.org. Local News Roundup. Man pleads guilty to fatal shooting. A 39-year-old man pleaded guilty for his involvement in the fatal shooting of a 26-year-old man. Johnny Ray Aguirre pleaded guilty to murder, a capital felony, on August 11th. Aguirre was sentenced to 30 years in prison. He was credited for 1,288 days. Judge James Rush of the 244th District Court approved the deal. Aguirre was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on February 1, 2018. Aguirre is the second of three people involved in the shooting death of 26-year-old Ryan Stebbins. Michael Silvas pleaded guilty in November 2019, and he was sentenced to life in prison. David Dierick was the third person charged in connection to the fatal shooting and is scheduled to have a jury trial at 9 a.m., November 15th, in the 244th District Courtroom of Judge Rush. The fatal shooting of Stebbins happened around 12:45 a.m., February 1st, 2018, in the 2200 block of Richmond Street. Stebbins had been shot in the chest. He was taken to Medical Center Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Man charged with sexually assaulting girl for 2 years. An 11-year-old girl reportedly told the Odessa Police Department that she had been sexually assaulted by her mother's ex-boyfriend for 2 years. Jeremy Daniel Villanueva, 30, was charged with continuous sexual assault of a child, a first-degree felony. The reported sexual abuse happened from 2018 to 2019, when the 11-year-old girl was 7 to 9 years old. A forensic interview was reportedly conducted with the 11-year-old on June 17th. During the interview, the girl detailed multiple incidents of being forcefully sexually assaulted by Villanueva. The girl reportedly detailed on one occasion that while she slept with Villanueva and her mother, that Villanueva touched her inappropriately. Villanueva had one bond totaling $60,000 and posted bail on Wednesday, jail records show. American tribute display to take place at Memorial Gardens by Michael Bauer. Every September, for almost 20 years, Prosperity Bank, in conjunction with the City of Odessa, has displayed thousands of American flags at Memorial Gardens Park as part of its American tribute, with a small ceremony to honor the first responders and those who were injured or died in the September 11th attacks. This year, the plans will still be display the flags, but there won't be a public ceremony this year due to COVID-19. West Texas Area President Mike Marshall said the plan for this year's tribute is to have the flags out from September 9th until September 20th at Memorial Gardens Park at 4730 East 42nd Street. "We don't necessarily have a ceremony as we have in past years," Marshall said, "but we do intend to put the flags out. It's something that we accomplish every year with the help of the City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department. Steve Patton and his crew, they come out and help light all the infrastructure of the poles and the bar, and we come out and put the flags out that Thursday." Marshall said that they intend to meet with the heads of the fire, sheriffs, and police department for a laying of the wreaths. "We always do that to remember the heroes who have left before us," Marshall said. "I think right now we're tentatively scheduled to do a small impromptu ceremony on Friday, September 10th, at the tent." Over 3,000 flags will be on display from September 9th through the 20th before they are taken down. "That allows everyone to come out and enjoy them for a couple of weeks," Marshall said. "A couple of groups usually come out and help put up the flags." "The Chamber is coming out to help," Marshall said. "Also, the Odessa Board of Realtors group is coming out. Once again, we're working with the city, and we're just trying to be cautious and not have a large gathering, just to keep everyone safe. We're playing it safe this year." A wreath is also placed at the memorial statue at the park. "This year, with COVID being on the rise, we want to be thoughtful and be cautious," Marshall said. "While it is an outdoor event, it's probably not a good idea to have an organized activity to try and keep everyone as safe as possible and then allow them to come out on their own. We like to leave the flags up for about a week and a half so the people can come out on their own and enjoy it with their families." The event started a year after 9/11 to honor the victims. While it still honors those who lost their lives in the tragic events from 20 years ago, it has also evolved to honor first responders and those in the medical field as well. "I think it has evolved over time, as we've seen in the last 10-plus years," Marshall said. "We've seen the shortage of staffing in the nursing industry and the medical industry and know how important that is for all of us each and every day. We've taken it a step further and started an endowment for nursing scholarships at the bank and award those scholarships each year. So that's another small piece of a big step that's evolved out of this event. When we do have events, we fundraise, but the bank contributes to this, and we give scholarships each year to the nurses over at Texas Tech Health Science Center there in Odessa. Once again, it's a way that we're trying to give back to the community and help with a need that we have. It's really kind of neat how this has started, but it's evolved to reach other areas and touch other areas in the community. While this year's tribute might be a little scaled down due to the COVID-19 guidelines, it's still something that the bank is glad to continue to be able to do, especially given the other tragedies that have happened in the area over time. For us, we've had so many tragedies that have happened over the years and so many things that we've worked very closely with the city and the police department and sheriff's office, Vice President of Banking Center Shannon Raven said. It's a thank you to our first responders.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.